voluntary reaching for a weapon. Not just a theatrical gesture, but an action which felt well rehearsed. I could almost feel the heft of the gun I lacked, the precise shape of its grip under my palm, a lattice of ballistics expertise lurking just below consciousness. I knew guns, and I didn't like robots. "Tell me more about my arrival," I said. "As I said, the ship which brought you here was the Orvieto," Amelia said. "She's in system, of course, since she's still being unloaded. I'll show her to you if you like."
"I thought you were going to show me a mirror."
"Two birds with one stone, Tanner." The path descended deeper, winding down into a dark shadowed cleft overhung with a canopy of tangled greenery. This must have been the small valley I had seen below the chalet. Amelia was right. It had taken me years to reach this place, so a few days spent regaining my memory was an inconsequential burden. But the last thing I felt was patient. Something had been straining at me ever since I had awakened, the feeling that there was something I had to do, something so urgent that even now, a few hours could make all the difference between success and failure.
"Where are we going?" I asked.
"Somewhere secret. Somewhere I shouldn't really take you, but I can't resist. You won't tell, will you?"
"Now I'm intrigued."
The shadowed cleft took us to the valley floor, to a point maximally distant from the axis of Hotel Amnesia. We were at the rim, where the two conic ends of the habitat were joined to each other. It was here that gravity was highest, and I felt the extra effort required to move around. Amelia's robot came to a halt ahead of us, pivoting around to present its blank ovoid face to us.
"What's up with it?"
"It won't go any further. Programming won't allow it." The machine was blocking our path, so Amelia took a step off the trail, wading into knee-high grass. "It won't want us to pass for our own safety, but on the other hand, it won't actively stop us if we make an effort to go around it. Will you, good boy?"
I stepped gingerly past the robot.
"You said something about me being a hero."
"You saved 5 lives when the bridge at Nueva Valparaiso came down. The fall of the bridge was all over the newsnets, even here." As she spoke, I felt like I was being reminded of something told to me before, that I was always only an instant away from remembering it all myself. The bridge had been severed some way up its length by a nuclear explosion, causing the thread below the cut to fall back to ground, while the part above the cut whiplashed lethally. The official explanation was that a rogue missile had been responsible. Some aspirant military faction's test firing which had gone badly awry and shimmied through the protective screen of anti-missiles around the bridge. But, though I couldn't easily explain it, I had the insistent feeling that there was more to it than that. That my being on the bridge at the same time was not just ill fortune.
"What exactly happened?"
"The car you were in was above the cut. It came to a halt on the thread, and would have been safe there except that there was another car racing up from below. You realized that, and persuaded the people with you that their only hope of surviving was to jump into space."
"Doesn't sound like much of an alternative, even with suits on."
"No, it didn't, but you knew they'd still stand a chance of surviving. You were quite a long way above the top atmosphere. You had more than 11 minutes to fall before you hit it."
"Great. What good is an extra 11 minutes if you're going to die anyway?"
"Another 11 minutes of God-given life, Tanner. And it also happened to be enough time for rescue ships to pick you up. They had to skim the atmosphere to grab you all, but they got everyone in the end, even the man who had already died."
I shrugged. I was probably only thinking of my own self-preservation.
"Perhaps, but only a real hero would even admit to thinking that way. That's why I think you might really be..."